Welcome, everyone. This is the What's New in Link Mobile. My name is Miro Gunaraja. I work on our customer experience and engineering team. My team is working with customers, or my responsibility is working with customers, gathering feedback, and driving the feedback back to our feature team. And with me today, I have Angela and Jason. I'll let them introduce themselves.
I'm Angela Chen. I'm a program manager on the product team. I've been on the team for about 6 years. So if you have any questions for Link Mobile, I probably can answer them.
And I'm Jason Lewis. I'm a program manager on the Link Mobile team as well. And I've been with Link for a little over 2 years now.
Cool. Perfect. So as I mentioned, what's new with Link Mobile? And so really what we're going to be covering, now that you see the slides, maybe not. Now that you see the slides. So what we're going to be covering is really what we've done in the past year and a bit and on the mobile clients. As Gurdeep mentioned this morning in our keynote, we've done a lot of great stuff and continuously iterated across all of our mobile, across all of the clients, but mobile particularly is one of those areas where we've had some great strides and taken a lot of your feedback and driven those directly into features. But before we did that, I wanted to kind of step back a little bit and kind of talk a little bit about kind of why we changed and kind of how we took that journey across. So as Gurdeep mentioned, you know, initially when we started, we were a very waterfall-driven organization, right? So within our team, every year, every 2 years, we would have this big bang release. You know, it would take us that much time to kind of pull everything together and get that out the door. Very quickly, you know, as we get into today's day and age, with cloud, with things, with customers moving a lot faster, we realize, hey, we need to actually step up our game and get features out there a lot quicker. So one of the things that we have done is all of our teams have moved over to our Scrum development. Really what this means is taking a bigger problem and slicing that down into smaller pieces and releasing those in smaller chunks so that way we get faster updates, we get the ability to be flexible and change and be able to take that feedback and change our course of action and be able to kind of ebb and flow with kind of that feedback that comes in. Really, we have a lot of small teams. Both Jason and Angela, they own specific Scrum teams. They take a lot of that feedback, and they own kind of what those features are that go into that product that they're working on. So just being able to kind of drive that across the board. This next slide has a whole bunch of different animations, and it talks about the different features that we've added. And really, I'm going to spend some time really quickly just walking through at a very high level. Then Angela and Jason will take us through some of the specifics. And then the majority of the session is really going to be around demo. A lot of these features are great to talk about, but it's better, even better to see live in action. So first, with our Wave 2 or 5.0 release back in March, we had VoIP and video. This was really one of the biggest things that we went from our initial mobile releases to our next one, is being able to add voice and video directly into the client. With our next piece, we did start with a lot of roster management pieces, so being able to add, remove folks, muting, unmuting, a lot of meeting management things that we went through, and then also viewing application sharing. You know, as the world evolves, as we are starting to become mobile first, being able to have that ability to just use your mobile device, and that's your sole device that you're using to get and join your meetings. Finally, with our September release, we did add certificate-based authentication. This was there on the desktop client, but this was a blocker for a lot of customers who don't have username and password. You now have the ability to use certificate-based authentication to actually log into your mobile client as well. Anonymous join, this is another great feature that we'll talk about as well. And then pinning contacts. Finally, our most recent release, which was just a couple weeks ago, is our PowerPoint viewing and then our Windows Phone control. So like I said, we're going to dive into each of these features and kind of walk through that as well. With that, I'll hand it over to Angela.
So one of our top requested features after our core release was the ability to anonymously join a meeting. So the scenario is you have a customer that maybe isn't a Link customer, but you really want to connect with them through a meeting. And previously, the only way that those customers would be able to join that meeting was through our web client. But we had lots of feedback that customers would like to join these meetings on the go from their mobile device or from their iPad. And so we delivered that in one of the recent releases, like Mira mentioned. So if you have our version of Link for iPad, iPhone, or Windows Phone that's currently in the store today, you can send a meeting request to a client. They can download that application on their platform. and use this option to sign in as a guest, they'll be put into the lobby just like they would be on the web application, and they can join the meeting and see the full richness of the meeting. So that includes video, application sharing, PowerPoint viewing, just like any other meeting attendee would be able to. But then they can take that meeting on the go, which is the main benefit. And like I mentioned, viewing, application, and desktop sharing was also added to our mobile clients. There are a lot of scenarios before when we shipped our 5.0 client where people said, you know, it's great that you can join the meeting, but unless I have an iPad, I can't experience the full richness of the meeting in the sense that if there's content being shared, I can only listen to voice or video. I can't actually see what everyone else is seeing. But now this is available on the Windows Phone and iOS clients also. And we made a big effort. If you looked at the feature list that Mira shared previously, we've made a large effort to really improve that mobile meeting experience to make sure that when you do join from the train or on the go, that you have the same capabilities that you have when you join from the desktop or any other client. So we've added a lot of improvement to our roster. So you can not only view who's there and who's joined, but you can also see what modalities they're joined from, and you can do the meeting management that you're familiar with from your desktop or your other clients. So muting other people, removing someone who maybe shouldn't be there, adding other people that should be there. We're continuing to make improvements in this area. And then also, there is lots of feedback for when, I'm sure this has happened to everyone, where you're joined to a mobile call. Yeah, maybe you go through a tunnel and you have some flaky connectivity with the network and you've suddenly been disconnected and you don't want to scramble and go through your meetings pane or go through your calendar to try to refine the meeting link and click it and relaunch a link and wait for it to load. So we've added a better experience so you can rejoin a meeting with one click. So if you do go through that tunnel, you get disconnected. Once you have network connectivity again, you can just right in that same conversation window click and rejoin without any issues. Jason's going to share the rest of the new features that we have.
So after our very first release, the 5.0 release, we brought in the VoIP and video, and not much else from a parity standpoint from desktop. And so there's a lot of things that we've been iterating on a quarterly space that is bridge that gap. And we've made a lot of conversation improvements, primarily in inviting others. So now in our first release, you can go ahead and do P2P. You can join a meeting, but you couldn't you couldn't add somebody if you really wanted to. And you couldn't escalate from a P2P conversation to a conference. And so now with our 5.1 release and all the way to our current releases, you can go ahead and add somebody else. You can also start, if you have a team group that you have in Link, you can go ahead and start a group conversation right ad hoc without having to schedule a meeting. On Windows Phone, you can press and hold and go ahead and go right into the group contact card and start a conversation really quickly. And that's for all the modalities. Another parity feature from desktop is the ability to transfer a call. So now with the Link Mobile clients, you can, if you're on the call with, say, Joe, and you need to, I don't have the answer for Joe, I need to give it to somebody else. So then you can go ahead and forward that call to somebody else or transfer it. A couple things that we did in our last release, our last two releases, really to kind of strengthen our own platform, the Windows Phone platform, and bring in some cool new features to that platform, is we added the ability to pin a contact. And this is a great scenario if you have one or two people or a handful of people that you talk to a lot. And so you don't have to actually launch the app, go find them in your contact list or search for them if they're not in your contact list. You can, from a single click on your home screen, you can go ahead and go right into the conversation with them and start a conversation either in IM or call. Something that we added in the last release is we wanted to try to get into some more mobile-specific scenarios and really drive home, not just necessarily getting parity with desktop, but doing things that you would really want to do when you're on the go. And so say if you're in the mall or you're walking from meeting to meeting, you don't want to be trying to tap like three different locations to try to join a meeting. You want to do it really simply. So now we have the ability to where you can go ahead and on the Windows Phone, press and hold on the Windows key, tell it what you want to do. And so you can join a meeting, you can view your meetings, you can play a voicemail, and you can view your voicemail. All right, time for some demos.
That phone call is not part of our demo. I wanted to call that out.
So as I briefly described, a great thing. So I talk to Angela all the time. She's my colleague. We're probably chatting 10 times a day easily. And so I want to have a really quick way of accessing and get to that conversation really quickly. So I have Angela pinned as a contact. I can tap on it, and it'll launch Link, and it'll go right into the conversation. And so from here, I can do anything. I can go ahead and send her an IM. And you'll see that she got an IM. I can also give her a call. And I'm just going to quickly mute here before we hear some screeching. And so now, from a really quick couple of clicks, I was able to IM her, or I can go ahead and give her a call. Very nice. So now, me and Angela are talking, and we realize we need to bring in somebody else. We need to bring in Miro into the conversation. So let's go ahead and add Miro.
And you're noticing we're using all sorts of platforms. So we had the iPad previously on my mini iPad. Jason's using his shiny new Windows Phone device, and then now Miro is using his Android device. And we can seamlessly go through all of these scenarios, no matter what platform the user might be using.
So now I added Miro to the conversation. So now the three of us can go ahead and work out whatever the problem that we have or celebration that we're celebrating.
So maybe I was in the call originally with Jason, and he added Miro, but I didn't really see, or he didn't tell me who he was going to invite. So now from this roster, I can kind of see that Miro's joined the call. And if I go ahead and tap on Miro, I can see that Miro's joined to IM. He's also muted. He's on voice. So I have that rich roster, that experience that we're used to seeing on the desktop. And you're kind of not left in the dark if you're talking. If someone can't hear you, you can kind of see if they're connected to voice or not. But let's say I saw Miro and I was like, oh, I don't really want Miro to be here. He can't celebrate with Jason and I because we're way cooler than he is. So I can go ahead and remove Miro from the conversation. And I can do that meeting management that I talked about a little bit earlier. And so let's decide, Jason and I were having a really good time. And I decided I really want to bring some other folks into this conversation. From my conversation list, I can send a group IM, as Jason mentioned. Let me mute myself so I'm not.
That's me, sorry. I rejoined the conversation really quick.
So. I blame Jason. I can go ahead and invite a group to a conversation so I don't have to go and individually add, all of these people to my conversation. I can, with one touch, say, hey, I'm at Link Conference to the entire group without much trouble. And so I think I didn't show it, but Jason was able to rejoin that conversation that we had. He's able to join. So these are just some of the ad hoc improvements we've had. This isn't a planned conversation that we had, but still on the mobile device, like we can participate in it fully. And then everyone's congratulating us for being here.
All right. This is live, by the way. This is all folks back in Redmond that are going to be responding here. So we'll hope they keep it PG.
All right, so we'll dive into a different scenario. So that was an ad hoc conversation, wasn't planned, but I think the number one scenario that most of our mobile customers has is the meeting join. You're on the go, you're safely driving with a Bluetooth headset in your car, and you really want to join that meeting, or you're in that train, you're on the way to the meeting, and you have your mobile voice, and you don't want to open your laptop to join the meeting. So on my iPad, I can come in. We have this nice meeting view, which is kind of something that we're adding across all of the Link endpoints, not just on mobile. But I see that I have this demo meeting coming up, but I just kind of want to join it without having to set up, my full laptop experience or sign into a desktop. So with one click, I can go ahead and join the meeting. And then Jason also from his Windows phone can do likewise. So I see already that Miru's here in this meeting already. And I can, and I'll take this time a little bit to show some of the improvements while everyone else joins. So you'll notice this is our new iPad client. It's just freshly out. And we've made improvements so that to upgrade our UI to the iOS 7 UI. This, I guess, kind of demonstrates our our desire to make sure that the user's comfortable on their endpoint. If they're used to iOS look and feel, we want to make sure that they're comfortable using Link, and that we've updated the UI to make sure to ensure that that continues to be a comfortable experience and it's first class on that device.
And then one of the other things that we also mentioned is around desktop and application sharing, right? So not only can you kind of view that and be able to join that meeting and get that audio, but being able to get that rich meeting experience where you can actually view desktop sharing. So right now what you're seeing is I'm actually going to be sharing my desktop from my laptop here, and then you'll see that directly on the mobile phone. And so pretty much across all the mobile phones. And then one of the other great things is that on the mobile phone, if it's a smaller screen, you can actually pinch and zoom. So being able to zoom directly into that content and driving that. And so Angela can show that, and so she can zoom that out. On an iPad, it's a little bit easier. You have a bigger screen. If you have a smaller screen, it becomes easier to kind of zoom in. And actually, I'm just going to do a quick plug here. Later on today, when we have the Ask the Experts session, we will be having all these sessions across the board. So that will be at 5:30 later today. We will have a whole bunch of folks from our product team. If you have any specific questions or specific feedback, they're going to be there talking about all of that. So if you're interested in voice video, amazing web experience, mobility, async or web or presence in chat, and the manageability, they'll have different sessions in different rooms. So that's that there.
Let me show you one quick thing. So just to show you that it does work on Windows Phone as well, you can pinch and zoom. Not that you really want to on a 6-inch device, but.
But there are some customers that say, why would I want to? How could I see a PowerPoint, or how could I participate in a shared meeting from my mobile device? But through the pinch and zoom, you can read text, and you're able to participate like other users, even though you have the smaller device.
And then one of the things that Gurdeep talked about this morning was around the anonymous join. And so this scenario is actually really valuable when it comes to, you're working with a customer or you're working with a specific partner who may not have Link today. And so if they try to join from their mobile device, they'll get routed to sign in, and they get to the sign-in screen, and they're like, well, what do? I don't have an account. Or they try to enter something in, and it fails. And so they come back to you and say, well, I can't join your meeting. So now, you send them the meeting link. Very quickly, it'll take them to the browser. And then it'll bring them back to Link, where they can very quickly enter in and sign in as a guest. But however, if you are a Link user and you do get a link, you still get that option to sign in. So in case you aren't signed into the app, you have that option to do that. So let me sign in as a guest here. If I just type in guest, and I can't type, so my name is going to be whatever that was. And then you'll have the same functionality. So you'll be presented and you'll be joining the meeting, but you will actually be put into the lobby. So you're not going to actually, I think I'd bypass lobby on this, but you can set up the meeting settings. So if you want anonymous users to go directly in, or if you want them to sit in the lobby. But that user now has the full richness of that meeting, right? So I have all the content. I can go in and see who the participants are. I have that piece, and I can see that, hey, I'm an attendee. I'm not a presenter until I get nominated there. And then if I do actually start my video as well, I'll actually be able to swipe over and get video up here as well. But it's really that full rich capabilities, even if you don't have an account, and being able to support that as well. So there's Angela's video. So.
But can you share your mobile phone desktop with another user?
Not today, no.
No.
Yeah, so just to repeat the question, it was can you share your mobile screen into the meeting? And that's not something that you can do today. And then really quickly, if I just jump back to my desktop here, was PowerPoint sharing and being able to view uploaded PowerPoint files. So right now I have a PowerPoint that's showing, and we can probably just show that there. Once you actually get in, you will actually be able to see kind of all the slides, and as I go through, you'll kind of see all the updated slides as I kind of progress through that. Maybe we'll show the iPad there. So as I switch slides on my desktop, you do get the transition and kind of the slide viewing on there as well.
Can you share a PDF or a PowerPoint on your iPhone and see it on a desktop?
Not today, no.
Okay, so no sharing?
No sharing, yeah. No. Yeah, so just repeat the question because we have folks online as well, is can you share anything like a file or anything directly on the mobile device out into the meeting? The answer is no, you do not support that today. Cool.
File upload capabilities?
Yeah, no, we don't support that today either. Yeah. Do you want to jump?
No, we do not.
Like, take a picture on the phone
and send that to somebody? Yeah, no, we don't support that today.
In the roadmap?
I don't know if that's on our roadmap, no specific dates, but that is something that we do have and that we are tracking, but no specific dates to share. Cool. So Jason, do you want to show some of the cool Windows Phone? The really cool one that was demoed this morning?
Yeah. So let me, Derek kind of showed this already, but let's do it again for everybody. So I'm going to do the voice command. Link, join my next meeting.
And so this is great if you're like driving and you have connected safely to Bluetooth, not looking at your device, not holding your device. You know, you're safely connected on Bluetooth. I just want to make sure I reiterate that. And then you can, you know, very one click, and not even a click, you kind of hold down and you're joined into the meeting.
So. I made one mistake. I said next meeting. I didn't have any next meeting scheduled, so it just showed me my meeting, my calendar. So let me do that one more time. Link, join my current meeting.
But this feature works in only Windows Mobile or in...
Only on Windows Phone, yes.
So it's not on iOS?
No.
Are there APIs for that? Will that be coming? Just Apple, but it's...
Apple doesn't provide Siri integration for third-party apps.
Android, we're working on some other things first. But, yeah. Cool.
So do you guys have a table or something that shows you're not quite feature parity across the platforms? You know, she talked about some of the things are on Windows Phone and iOS, but not Android. I was wondering if you have a table to sort of...
We do. We actually do have on TechNet, there's a number of charts. I don't know the link off the top of my head, but there's a chart that talks about all the summaries across all the endpoints. And the mobile is represented in there as well.
Yeah, if you come find us afterwards, we'll get your email and then get you that link. That table.
Cool. Perfect.
Just shift over to shift map.
Cool. So a couple other things that we added recently is that we have a we added a bunch of some new authentication mechanisms. So, those familiar with desktop, we've had Link Certificate Auth for a while, and we've brought that to Link Mobile on iPhone and iOS and Windows Phone. That gives us the ability to authenticate without having to really rely on credentials on the device, which is something that we hear from a lot of customers, especially in the mobile world. Where some devices, obviously a mobile device is easier to get a hold of than a physical PC in your office. So we do have some mechanisms in place with Link Cert Auth where you can authenticate and know that if a device is compromised by somebody, then you can revoke access very easily, and then you know that there's no credentials being taken from anybody. As well as that, we have passive authentication with ADFS 2.0. This gives us a couple different things. One, it allows us to offload our authentication from Link itself into really a space that knows authentication very well. ADFS, AD is our authentication solution all around Microsoft. With this, we can go ahead and we can bring in multi-party authentication or multi-factor authentication, as well as if you just don't use username and password, where some customers use smart card PIN, you can go ahead and build in a different type of authentication mechanism through ADFS. With both of these, we've added a couple new policies as well to help control this. So if you're going to use Link Certificate Auth, which is only on-prem, both of these solutions are only on-prem today. We're looking at what we can do in online in the future. But with these, you can have a policy to disable save password. And what this does is it locks down the mobile device to where after you've authenticated for the first time, we go ahead and get rid of the password, and we just rely on the certificate to remain authenticated. Similarly, we have another policy for Exchange. So one of the side effects of disabling the save password or using ADFS for authentication is that you no longer can authenticate to Exchange to get your meetings and visual voicemail information. So that's a different authentication mechanism, It doesn't support link cert auth. And so we have the ability for the admin, if you're a customer who doesn't want to, either they don't use Exchange, or if they're going to disable Safe Password to lock down the mobile device, then you can go ahead and turn this off as well. And then the end user won't even see Exchange. They won't see the meetings environment. They won't see the visual voicemail. So from an end user perspective, they're not seeing behavior in the client that doesn't work. So we talked about iOS and Windows Phone quite a bit. Android, we are very committed to Android. We are working to bridge the parity gap between platforms. We just had a release just last week that started to bridge that gap. So we brought in some support for continuing conversations, which is just a core functionality of Link. We also brought the ability to quickly rejoin a meeting, which we showed in the demo, which is very important, especially in the mobile space, where you're driving your car or walking through a tunnel or whatever you want to do, and you lose connectivity, you want to have that easy ability to rejoin a meeting. This last release, we did a lot of overall quality improvements in the client. So we've noticed, and one of the reasons why we have been slower is that the quality of the client wasn't as good as the other two clients. And so we spent a lot of effort in this last release to really get two areas at the high quality bar that we want. One of them is VoIP, and especially on some new hardware and the newer versions of Android. So we've made a lot of improvement in that area, and then as well as audio routing. So we had some issues in the past where you might turn on speakerphone, and you leave, speakerphone's still turned on in other apps, and we've improved that quite a bit. And then lastly, as Derek mentioned earlier, tablet is coming. So that is great news. That's probably the number one feedback I get every day from customers is, where's tablet? That will be coming soon.
Cool, so we kind of whizzed through all the different features that you've seen today. You've seen stuff from anonymous join to viewing content on mobile, roster management, and being able and taking mobile and taking it from an attendee experience more to a presenter experience and being able to have some of those roster controls. We are continuously iterating on these features. Like I mentioned, since we've released, every 3 months we have pushed out an update. And these are not small bug fixes. These are actual features that are kind of bringing us closer and closer to desktop parity and then parity across all the platforms as well. So with that, I want to open up the floor for questions. If you don't mind, if you can come up to the mic. They are recording these, so it's a bit easier to hear.
You talked about device parity, especially on Android. What's the minimum spec that you guys support?
We support Android OS 4.0 and above. We do not support the Tegra 2 chipset, but we do support most of everything else. We have a full list documented on TechNet.
Yeah. Are there any plans to support persistent chat from the mobile device? So if I want to be in a persistent chat room with desktop users, is there any support for that coming?
So that's something that has been raised to us. We don't have anything actively on our backlog that's looking at that right now. But that's great feedback. I will take that down.
It's obvious, you were talking about how you're going to join your team in one fell swoop. Yeah, persistent chat, it's always there, it's always on. Your conversation history is there. It's how groups, teams work in obviously the office.
Cool, thank you.
Thanks for the feedback.
Well, iPhone and incoming calls. Is that a misunderstanding that this is not working when you use lock screen? Is this a misunderstanding? Because I lock my screen and the incoming call is not showing up.
You should be able to receive calls even under lock screen for both iPad and iPhone.
So there's some.
We'd have to look, but yeah, it should work.
It's definitely supported, yep.
Okay, you can show me later.
Do you have a timeline for
So that is something that we're definitely looking at. It's in our roadmap. I can't commit to timelines, but it's something that we're looking at.
Repeat the question.
So the question was, are we going to have voice commands in other languages than English for Windows Phone?
So
We haven't gotten a lot of feedback on the time frame of when we want to delete conversations. Typically, what we do today is if you have conversation history disabled, we remove the conversation as soon as it's been terminated. So on either endpoint, it gets removed. I'd love to hear more about scenarios where it makes sense to keep it. Well, today we're probably at the very far extreme where we, as soon as the conversation's done, it's gone.
Okay.
That's correct. Right now, we only have the capability to view content from the mobile devices, and we are looking into being able to share some content from the mobile, but we can't commit to any timelines.
Yeah. The one thing to keep in mind with the sharing out of the mobile device is that on all the mobile platforms, apps are sandboxed. So getting out of that platform and understanding kind of how that goes in, that's something kind of some part of the thinking that we're working through of how we tackle that problem. So that is an issue that we are kind of looking at and trying to work through of what that looks like. But like Angela said, there's no specific timelines around that.
Are you seeing any problems in handoffs between APs and a Wi-Fi environment, or do you even test that?
We do test that. So if you do change networks, we do notice that there's some times where the call may have to get reestablished. So it's all dependent. You can't really change networks. We don't support changing networks on the fly. But
Just AP to AP within the same Wi-Fi network.
Wi-Fi network?
ESS.
That's the same scenario. Currently, we don't support the call continuity between AP access points and things like that. But
you have to stay in one place to make a call?
If you're on Wi-Fi, yes. You can't change networks.
Here. It's an issue that we're aware of, and we're definitely looking into. But once again, we don't have a timeline to commit to for improvement.
These are mobile calls, right?
Yes, we know.
Okay.
Yep. Yep, we're well aware. Yep.
Yes?
When you were talking with the phone, say maybe going to my next meeting, that was a great feature, but can we do the same in other languages?
So that was another question we had earlier about localized languages for voice commands. It's something that we're definitely looking at. I can't commit on timeline, so it's something that is in our backlog. It is in our backlog. Again, can't comment on timelines, but it's something that we're very aware of. And it's something that is just a normal behavior that you'd want to do on any kind of messaging device. And so, yeah, we know how important it is.
And going back to the AP to AP question, there is another session later on. I think it's tomorrow or Thursday.
Tomorrow morning at 9.
That does cover the best practices around setting up your AP networks. All of those best practices will apply to mobile as well. Just it's a grunt around the networks that we work with. But again, around that testing, that will be the best place to ask that question as well. Any other questions? No?